I want to start out by giving you a little slideshow, okay? And I'm going to put a bunch of images up here on the screen behind me. And you don't have to do much. Just look. It's pretty easy, all right? Here we go. First one. First image. This is a light bulb. Woo! All right. Second one. Roller coaster. How many of you love roller coasters? Yeah, awesome. How many of you would tackle that roller coaster in a heartbeat, huh? How many of you would barf all over the place on that? Right. Here's another one, Apple iMac. Huh? How many Apple fans do we have here? Okay, that's all right. Everybody's at a different place in their spiritual journey. here's one, my summer car right here, Mercedes-Benz. Go to my summer home. My estates. Anyway, how about this one? Man of Steel film coming out in June. Superman, it's going to be pretty good. Here's one, a game that no one should play once they reach 35 years of age. Even if it does involve Jell-O. Just kidding. All right. My meds are wearing off. Here's another one. chewing gum. Whew. All right. How many of you love Juicy Fruit? No, it's horrible. It's awful gum. It's bad for your teeth. Here's another one. NASA Space Station. All right. So here's the deal. Eight random images. They had nothing to do with each other. And so if you were sitting there like wondering, like trying to find the connection, you completely wasted your brain power, okay? These images really didn't have anything to do with each other in a direct sense. But they do all share one thing in common. And that is in how all of these things that you just saw, all of these images that are on the screen right now, all of them began as a picture, as an image, as a dream, as an idea in someone's imagination. Right? I mean, if you think about it, everything that has really ever existed started out as an image, as an idea, as a possibility, right, in someone's imagination at some point in time. And in fact, not only does everything that exists point to someone's imagination, but everything that will exist, right, everything that will exist tomorrow, everything that will exist in the future or at any point one day will only exist after first existing in someone's imagination. Maybe yours, maybe mine. Well, today we're going to continue a series we started a few weeks ago called The New Artists. And if you've been with us, you know this is a series where we're learning how to unleash, how to awaken that inner artist that is within each and every one of us. And we've been talking about how to begin to discover those canvases that are surrounding our lives, those canvases that are in desperate need of our art and our creativity, those canvases that are surrounding your life right now, surrounding my life. Whether you're an artist and, you know, you are embracing a literal canvas that's made out of material of some sort, whether you're a leader, some of you pastors who are listening online, some of you who are leading organizations, your canvas is that business, that organization, that church, whatever it might be. Some of you as teachers, your canvas are those students that sit in those chairs every day. Parents, one of our canvases, you know what that is? It's called our children, right? One of the canvases we've been called to bring creativity and beauty to. Some of you who are activists, your canvas is perhaps a cause that you have put your passion into, and it just fires you up and it drives you. If you were here with us last weekend, we talked a little bit about how there's one thing in particular that will help us to do even a better job of embracing and discovering our canvases. It's this thing called sensitivity. Would you say that word with me? Sensitivity. It was a really inspiring weekend. If you were with us, you remember we had a couple from our church community, Bill and Renee Plaza, and what a great story of two people who allowed their sensitivity to cause them to become aware of quite a canvas that was in need of goodness and beauty and truth, and their canvas is the country of Haiti, and so they've committed their lives there. And in fact, I saw them last night. They're heading there in just a couple of days, and they're going to be there for a couple of months, exploring and finding even greater ways to embrace this canvas and these people in this place called Haiti. But see, I think that's what sensitivity does. You know, it really awakens us to the realities that are right in front of us. right? It awakens us to what's happening in our lives. It awakens us to what's happening in our homes, in our neighborhoods, in our communities, in our city, even in places around the world. That is really sensitivity. It's what opens our eyes up to how things are, to what is right in front of us. Whereas this thing we're going to talk about today, which is imagination, well, what imagination does is imagination is what enables us to go beyond how things are. Imagination is what enables us to go beyond what is and to get a picture of what could be, of how things potentially could be. Now, the word imagination is an interesting one. It comes from a Latin word. The Latin word is imago. Would you say that word with me? Imago. Now, the word imago is a word that means image. It's the same word that's used in Genesis, where God says, and we're told that God created human beings in his own image. You and I, right? We've been created in the image and likeness of God. We are to be reflections of who God is. And so what is imagination? Well, let me try to offer you some sort of definition. I don't know if this is a good one or not, but you know, it's the only one I have for you right now. So here we go. Ready? Imagination is a mental image of something that does not yet exist. Right? It is a mental image of something that does not yet exist. All right, so if I were to ask you right now, close your eyes and picture a polar bear. Well, of course, you would picture a polar bear, but it wouldn't really require the use of your imagination because most of us have seen a polar bear, right? I mean, hopefully not too close, but we've seen one, right? We've seen pictures of one. Maybe you've seen one at the zoo or whatever, right? It doesn't require a whole lot of imagination. Whereas if I were to ask you to close your eyes and imagine a green polar bear wearing a pink tutu, that would require the use of your imagination. I mean, I'm assuming you've not had any encounters with green polar bears wearing pink tutus. If you have, then you probably need therapy. But anyway, so imagination, it's a mental image of something that does not yet exist. Albert Einstein said it well. He said, your imagination is your preview to life's coming attractions. That's a good way of looking at it, right? Imagination is kind of like that movie preview that shows you what's ahead, what's coming. I mean, most of us, we know that long before Disney World or Disneyland ever existed physically, we know long before that it existed mentally, didn't it? In the heart, in the mind of the great Walt Disney. Right? Because that's what imagination does. Right? It pictures it here, inside, here, before it ever comes to reality out here. Right? I mean, imagination is where everything that ever will exist, it's where it all begins, which ultimately means something really important for us. Well, it means, like, for example, our imaginations are very powerful. Oh, they're very powerful, okay? Because look, not only do our imaginations form new ideas and inventions and innovations and all these things, but do you know that it's our imagination that actually shapes who we are and who it is we're becoming? That's right, our imaginations. It's like Solomon said it well, Proverbs chapter 23, he said, "We think in our hearts, so are we." Right? How we think, how we see, right? It's your thoughts, it's your ideas, it's your images, and it is what's the boldness, really, of your imagination that is defining you today and will end up shaping who you're becoming tomorrow. See, and that's why, you know, while our imaginations are certainly a great gift to us from God, you know, if we use our imaginations in the wrong way, they can be quite destructive, right? I mean, we can, our imaginations can be a blessing, but if we use them the wrong way, they can be a real curse as well, can't they? We see that all the time, right? We've all experienced this. We've all seen how this happens, right? How easy it is to let our imaginations go to unhealthy places, unwise places. I mean, it's a struggle, isn't it? Every day, we all struggle with it. We you know, and we feel the effects of it in small ways. Some of you've experienced it in pretty big ways. You know, I mean, I think of the husband, you know, who's committed adultery. I mean, you know, a husband doesn't just like one day wake up and say, oh, you know, hey, today would be a great day to commit adultery. You know, I mean, I haven't much else to do, so why not? Right? No, no, I mean he didn't just suddenly become unfaithful, right? No, what happens is the imagination went places it shouldn't have gone. And over time, it began to shape who he was on the inside, which then started to come to life, and it started to escape, and it became who he ended up being on the outside. But our imagination, it's very, very powerful. Erwin McManus says it this way: the imagination is the soil from which we grow our lives. I mean, it's a great way of looking at it. You know, the ancient Jewish mystics, they had a way of referencing or looking at imagination, and the wording that they used I thought was really good. They would refer to it as, they would say, the fierce power of imagination that is a gift from God. Right? It's like on one hand, it's very fierce, but it's also a gift that has been given to us from God. Like, do you see the paradox there? On one hand, it's like on one hand, there's this warning of like, hey, you know what? Your imagination is really powerful, and it can accomplish some really great things. But if you're not, you got to be careful. You have to respect it. You have to honor it. You have to make sure it's coming out of a good place. I mean, you're dealing with something really powerful. And see, that's why throughout history, man, imagination has oftentimes been seen as a real threat. You know, I mean, I think a great example of that is, was the effort that was made to take the drum away from the African slaves who were brought here to America. You know, and what happened was, like, by taking the drum away from the slave, well, the slave masters felt like they could more effectively control control the slaves because there was something, and maybe they weren't even able to articulate it, but there was something really powerful that they recognized that was happening in the drumming and in the dancing and in the chanting and in the connection to the unseen. I mean, they felt it. And yet imagination was so powerful, they couldn't stop it, right? And so over time, the drum began to reappear in different forms. It began to appear in the voice of the preacher in the black church, right? It began to appear in different ways. It began to appear through different kinds and alternative forms of musical expression, things like blues and jazz. Because imagination couldn't be denied. Come forth, always find an outlet for its truth. And so, like, on one hand, while, you know, this idea of imagination being fierce and you know, it speaks of its power and saying, look, be careful with this thing. Well, the fact that our imagination is also a gift from God, that it has been given to us from our Creator, you know what that does? It reminds us and it speaks to us of the fact that you and I do not have to be afraid of that power. We don't have to be afraid. We just have to recognize it as a powerful gift that comes to us from God and a powerful gift that is to be used in a way that brings peace and justice and shalom and well-being and goodness and wholeness and beauty, and ultimately to bring, well, what Jesus prayed, you know, when he prayed those words, God's kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven. Now, imagination is one of those things that we could make a whole series out of imagination. There's so many different aspects and things we could talk about. And so what I think I want to do today with the time we have left is I want to talk about imagination sort of from two angles. On one hand, I want to talk a little bit about I want us to explore at least some of the things that I think tend to work against our imagination. Now, I want to talk about what are those things that oftentimes keep us from being imaginative people. And then I want to flip the coin and look at the other side of it, and I want to talk and explore a little bit what are some of the things that will actually help fuel our imagination. All right, so what works against our imagination? Let's start there. Let's talk about that. And there's a few things. I'm not going to spend a ton of time. I'm just going to throw these out. And then I'm going to trust the Spirit to just take them and kind of move however the Spirit needs to move in each of your lives. And there will be something in here, hopefully at the end of the day, that will challenge you and that will speak to you. All right, so let's start with things that work against. What are things that tend to keep us from being imaginative people? Well, here's one, okay? One of those, I think, could be summed up in these two words: growing up. Growing up. Say it with me. Ready? Growing up. Listen, for whatever reason, it seems that for most people, the longer we live, the less we use our imaginations. Isn't it funny? I mean, think about this for a second. Okay, if you think about it, we begin to grow up. Well, not all of us grow up. Some of us grow up, right? Anyway, what was I saying? Some of us grow up, and it's funny what happens. You know, when we're kids, like, we try so hard to break away from all the restrictions and all the, you know, all the limitations and all the constraints of childhood. And then we come into our teenage years and we kind of have a little bit of rebellion, right? Except for my 13-year-old daughter, who never will. I've told her, it's not allowed. But anyway, no, but we move into our teenage years because we want to be free, right? We want to grow up. We want to be independent. We want to be adults. We want to be mature and all that stuff, right? And yet the tragedy in all of this is that the things that we should keep with us and the things that make us unique and the things that allow us to turn our dreams into reality are the things that we are often so quick to let go. We let go. We lose our imaginations. We lose our spirit of wonder, of curiosity. And the problem is, not only do we lose our curiosity and lose this imagination, but we end up, as a result, I think, we get stuck. We get stuck working in a job that we may not say we hate, but we kind of tolerate. Right? I mean, how many of us would say, I think there's a lot of us who would say, like, man, my job really is about making money. It's not something like I feel this calling to. Or we wouldn't say we love our jobs. I think a lot of us would have a hard time saying that. So some of us are able to. You know, or we live our entire lives, I think, also being surrounded by people who just constantly drag us into a place of mediocrity. Right, and we find that our lives, it's like we settle, right? And we settle and we stay the same, and then the worst thing about it is, like, we become okay with it. We just sort of accept it. You know, so let me just ask you, how about you? I mean, do you still dream about what could be? Or have you settled? I don't care how old you are. I'm just asking, do you still dream about what could be, or have you settled? I mean, maybe a better way of asking it is this way. If your dreams became the future of humanity, would this be a better world? What would it look like? Oh, that's a tough question, isn't it? What would the world look like if your best dreams became the world that we live in? Would the world be a better place, or would it be sort of just mediocre? Would it be just sort of, you know, what it is? Or would it be worse? See, I think what happens to a lot of us is we find ourselves just sort of sitting back, waiting and waiting and waiting for the life that we long for to just somehow magically show up, right? Or it's like we're just waiting for those canvases in our lives, whatever they might be, to just somehow, like, become beautiful and all of a sudden for color to just appear. But see, it doesn't work that way. It never works that way. You have to dream. You have to start seeing it in here if you're ever going to see it out here. Because listen, remember, the way you imagine, fill in the blank, yourself, the way you imagine your family, what are you dreaming about in terms of your family? The way that you imagine your future, the way you imagine the city that you live in, the city that you work in, your workplace even, how about even your marriage, or your future relationships, whatever it might be, how you imagine that stuff is going to have a huge effect on what it actually becomes. Here's another thing, all right, that works against us being imaginative people, all right? I would say that comfort does this as well. Comfort, would you say that with me? Is it hot in here? Is it warm? Are you comfortable? Oh, is it warm or not? Answer me, please. Okay, see, that, yeah. That's why we don't ever vote in church, because it just doesn't work out well. All right? How many of you like the green carpet? Anyway, how many of you like, okay, so anyway, comfort. Now, let's talk about comfort. I think for a lot of us, it is easier to rest in our comfort than it is to dream about something new and something different. I think it's just easier. It just is. It's easier to rest in what is than it is to imagine something different, something better, right? And so what happens, I think, like instead of letting our imaginations run wild, we end up choosing comfort over things like contribution. We end up choosing safety over things like significance. We end up choosing, you know, well, in some ways, like instead of using our imaginations to actually create something, we end up just spending all of our time on Facebook, you know, sharing cute little Jesus pictures and unicorns and rainbows and all these cute little sayings and videos and pictures, right, that someone else imagined and someone else created. And all we're doing is consuming it or sharing it. Big deal. Besides, like half the stuff that's on Facebook, over half, it might look cute, it might sound good, but most of it's a bunch of crap. Go ahead and quote me on that on your little Facebook with flowers and Jesus unicorns and things, okay? Some of you are going to have fun with that. I can just imagine. See, look, the problem is like while we're wasting time, you know, spending hours a day on Facebook or watching television or whatever it is we do, and it's not all bad. Come on, I'm not saying that. But while we're doing all of that, we're missing out. And not only are we missing out, but so are our canvases that are in desperate need of what we could be bringing to them. See, this is not all about you. And it's so easy to think it is, because we start to think, like, who am I and what significance do I have? You have no idea what your part might be in a bigger picture. There's a story, I think, that really has been, I think, resonates with what we're talking about here. It's in Mark, Gospel of Mark, and it's a story about this blind man who's sitting, I forgot where, on the side of the road or something, and Jesus and his entourage, his disciples, come walking by, and this blind man begins to yell out, begins to call for Jesus, and he says, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And everyone starts to just sort of freak out. They don't like this. This guy's bothering Jesus. So everybody tries to get him to be quiet, but he keeps saying it. "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Again, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And so finally, he gets Jesus' attention. And Jesus looks at him and he says, "Come here." And the blind man walks over to Jesus. And Jesus looks at him and he just asks a very, very simple question. He says, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man says, "Well, I want to see. I want to see." And so what does Jesus do? Well, Jesus honors his faith, and he heals him, and he restores his sight. Now, just pause there for a second, and can imagine with me for a minute, what can you imagine if when Jesus asked this blind man this question, like, "What do you want?" Can you imagine if the blind man would have been like, "Well, you know what would be great? If you could help improve my hearing, that would be awesome. Because, see, I can't see. And so to be able to have a heightened sense of hearing would really help me a great deal." Right? Or you know, it's been getting chilly at night, and somebody stole my coat. I don't know who, because I'm blind. But someone stole my coat, and I'm getting cold. So if you could just Shazam a coat to me right now, that would be awesome. I mean, can you imagine? Like, you'd be like, "What? You'd be crazy." But I think in some ways, I have to wonder, like, how many of us are living like that? You know, I mean, I have to wonder. It's like God has given us this amazing ability to dream, this amazing ability to see beyond our current reality and to imagine what our lives could be, to imagine what the canvases around our lives could be. And it's almost like God is asking and saying, like, "Look, what do you want?" And we're sitting here and we're saying, "Well, I don't know. Like, I you're supposed to be content, right? I don't know. I mean, I think things are just okay as is. Like, I you know, I mean, yeah, things could be better, but I don't want to be selfish or anything. I mean, who am I to really dream? Come on." We're missing it. Listen, comfort can be a killer, man. It can drain the very life out of us. Man, we find we're not living, man. We're sleepwalking. We're not living with our eyes wide open. All right, here's another one. Another thing that works against us being imaginative people. Are you ready for this? This will tick some of you off. God bless your hearts, okay? Ready? It's logic. 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 If I could tap dance it, I would. Logic. Now, that was totally illogical. But anyway, just the fact that I could even pretend I could dance. But anyway, what was I saying? Logic. Now, I'm not saying logic is bad. All right, so put your spreadsheets away of how you're thinking about sabotaging me right now, okay, and your calculators. Anyway, logic's not a bad thing. The problem is it's just not always helpful when it comes to us dreaming big and imagining. Right? And you know, listen, the great theologian, Albert Einstein, okay, he said this. Joking, he wasn't one. But anyway, logic, actually, he maybe was in some ways. Logic, he said, logic will get you from A to Z. Imagination will get you everywhere. It's good. Look, you know, imagination requires you to go beyond your thinking mind, right? It requires us to go beyond our logic, and it requires us to tap into our hearts and to tap into our feelings. I mean, someone once said that imagination begins with intuition, not intellect. Bingo. Is with our feelings, intuition, what we sense, what we feel. See, here's the thing. You know, logic and, you know, your thinking mind will almost always, always, always point you to what's safe and to what is comfortable and to what makes sense and to what is doable and to what's realistic. Unfortunately, you can't have both. You cannot have safety and comfort and do something that is great and significant. You cannot have both. You can't. There's always risk. Always. If there's not risk, then you haven't used your imagination. No, there's always risk. Risk of looking stupid, foolish, risk of losing money, risk of even sometimes losing relationships. There is always risk. I mean, look, we could go down a list of people, you know, who, throughout history. We could open the Bible and look at people's lives who their imaginations and their dreams were everything but safe, and they were everything but realistic. I mean, they did things that made no sense whatsoever. I mean, how about David and Goliath? What's he thinking? Right? I mean, there was no spreadsheet for him to look at to go, well, I think I could possibly, you know, do this. No, he's crazy, you know? I mean, was his victory not a victory of imagination and spirit over brute human strength? There's nothing logical about that. Huh? How about Abraham and Sarah? You know, they're really old, and God says, like, hey, you're going to be a father of many nations. Like, okay, like I get that today, you know, 2013, there's like medications that can help us with certain things. But I mean, Abraham and Sarah, they didn't have that going on. Right? Going down the list, Noah, huh? Build an ark because there's going to be a flood. What? It hasn't even rained on this planet yet. And you're telling me to build a freaking ark? Like, why do we need that, right? I mean, people thought he was crazy, totally unrealistic. But think about what gets us stuck. We get stuck with the realities that are right in front of us, don't we? We get so stuck by those. Man, I mean, how many times we start to imagine, we start to dream, and in a second or 2 seconds, immediately, it's like we thought, what the heck am I doing? This is crazy. This is stupid. I this is not realistic. And then we stop. We stop dreaming. We stop imagining. And then we get stuck. Right? See, you know what we get stuck by? We get stuck by the hows. H-O-W. We get stuck by the how of how am I going to be able to do this? How could this ever happen? How could, I mean, can you imagine, like you know, last weekend when we talked to the Plazas in that conversation, do you realize if they would have, they could have so easily gone, wait a minute, how? But you know what? And then they would have stopped dreaming, they would have stopped moving forward, and they would not be where they're at today making the impact they're making. Listen, how is not your problem completely. It's to a large degree, it's God's problem, God's issue. What you and I are to do is to figure out the what and to just say yes to the what and to then let God provide the way and to show us how it's all going to happen. Y'all quiet in this. What are we, Methodists today or what? I mean, I love you Methodists, but y'all quiet. Listen, imagination will always come to a screeching halt the moment you start paying too much attention to the how. It'll always stop it. It will always cut it off. Imagination doesn't ask how. Imagination's focusing on the what. Are you with me? Do you get that? Great. Okay. So, geez, what am I supposed to do? Not how. What? All right. So, these are some things. These work against the imaginative mind. All right. Things like growing up, comfort, logic. Now, let's flip the coin. Let's talk about some of the things that will help us, because it would be kind of a downer to end there. So, what will help us to grow and become more imaginative in our lives? Here's the first one. Are you ready? A drum roll would be really nice, but that's okay. Curiosity. Curiosity. Say that with me. Curiosity. I know some of you are like, Scott, but don't you know the curiosity killed the cat? Well, and that would be a real threat if you were a cat. And it's a good thing you're not a cat, because if you were a cat, I wouldn't like you. No, I'm not against cats. I'm not anti-cat. I have allergies. I would sneeze on you, and I would have an asthma attack, and I would have to go find my inhaler that I haven't had to use since seventh grade. But anyway, no, so what am I saying? Oh, see, here's what's interesting about curiosity. You notice you don't ever have to teach kids how to be curious? Like, there's no course you have to send them through. Right? I mean, it's not like, a video series they need to watch in order to learn how to be curious. No, I mean, it just happens. Speaking of cat, so this weird thing keeps happening in our house where there's a cat that comes in to our house. No, I'm not lying. Like, and we don't have, you gotta understand, like, we don't have a dog, we don't have a cat, we have a turtle. And the turtle's very boring, okay? But anyway, so you know, sometimes, but listen, sometimes I'll be sitting there, be reading, watching TV, all of a sudden I see something, and I look, and there's a freaking cat, a white cat that has come into the house. And you know how that cat, I figured out how that cat comes into the house. Well, I think part of it has to do with the fact that there's this big hole in our screen. And do you know why there's a hole in our screen? Because my son was curious of what might happen if you were to take a sharp object and cut the screen. And he discovered that if you do that, a cat will come in and Lord knows what else. Listen, I've never had to fuel my kids' curiosity. I've never had to say, like, look, would you be more curious for God's sake? Come on, right? Listen, every child is naturally curious. They're insatiably curious, right? I mean, dangerously curious, irritatingly curious, right? You don't have to tell a child to explore or to touch or to feel or to look or to eat things. You know, I mean, like, curiosity is why you have to watch your kids all the time, some of us more than others, and because they're going to go places they are not supposed to go, and they're going to go do things and try things you're not supposed to try, and they're going to get themselves in all kinds of trouble. And yet, here's the crazy thing about it. Jesus constantly said to us, you need to be more like children. Right? Be like children. Be more curious. Right? Have a posture of wonder. How many of you have seen that Kid President video on YouTube? Have you seen that one? Okay, so I haven't actually watched this yet, but I did watch another video of this kid. And it was not the main video. I should probably watch the main video. I don't know what it's about. I'm assuming, like, this is actually the real Kid President, for God's sake. Like, because kids said so, okay? And so anyway, so there's this Kid President. But there was this video, this other video of him in the White House. And he's given a tour of the Oval Office. And it was, I don't know if you saw that, but it was so interesting because he was so chilled about it. Like, I was watching that going, I would not be that chilled. He was just like, hey, what's up? You know, walking around. And then it got me thinking about how, you know, when people who work for the White House or for the president or whatever, when they retire, they move on, they get to have, like, bring their family in for a photo with the president, you know? And so put these other photos up. Like, check this out. Like, this kid, he doesn't care. He's like, hey, let me call down a nuclear strike on another country right now, right? I mean, what does this button do? Oh, whoops, sorry. You know, it's like they just say, show that other one, right? I don't care how good the apples look. I mean, you're not going to eat those because those are President Obama's apples, right? Like, those are nice apples. I'm not going to touch them. See, kids are just free, aren't they? Ah, wonder what this is. Wonder what this button does. Wonder what happens if I eat this. What happens if I put this in my, whoa. I mean, they're just curious, right? Adults, like, we're different, right? We're reserved. We're mature. We're in raw formal, especially if we're going to be in the Oval Office, right? So anyway, all that to say that, you know, we all know, like, our part of our job is to teach our children, but maybe we should just sometimes let our children teach us and learn from them, right? Let me just ask you a quick question. How old are you on the inside? How old are you? You know, it's not really about age. Because I'll tell you something. I know some old people who are really young on the inside, right? And I know some young people. Do you know some, right? Some young people who are old farts on the inside, man. They are. They're just old, man. I mean, how old are you on the inside? Are you still asking questions? Is your posture one of, you have a posture of wonder? Like, are you willing to sometimes follow the rabbit trails? Here's another one, nothing that will fuel our imagination and actually help feed our curiosity as well. It's what I'll call exploration. Say that with me, ready? Exploration. Something powerful happens as you explore unknown territories. And as you spend time in uncertain environments, something powerful happens. I mean, how often do you do that, though? I mean, how often? I mean, I always think the story of Moses is so good, the burning bush. You know that story? There's a bush that's on fire, but it doesn't burn up. Like, that's not normal. And Moses sees that, and he's like, what the heck is that? Like, that's awesome is what that is, you know? And so he goes over, and he checks it all out, and he has this curiosity, right? He's exploring something here. And the next thing you know, he's having this life-changing encounter with God. I mean, what about you? What kind of exploring do you do? I mean, when's the last time you ate food, some foods that you've never eaten before? Huh? Someone the other day, they were like, so, hey, and I'm not going to say how old they were, but they were old enough where they shouldn't have been asking this question. But they're like, hey, what's that Thai food like? I said, what, you never had Thai food? I said, you know, I'll tell you what, you're actually disqualified from having Thai food. Just because you haven't had it up to this point yet, you're disqualified. Sorry. When's the last time you tried food you've never tried before, huh? Explore. When was the last time you visited a city that you've never been to? When's the last time you've gone somewhere new and not on accident, okay? Like, actually on purpose. Well, I just like my Sugar Grove. I like my Aurora, West Side mainly. Explore. So a few months ago, a friend of mine invited me to go over to the Middle East with him in June. That's coming up. And so there's going to be about four or five of us. We're going to go spend time in Palestine and in Israel. And we're going to, I mean, if you know anything about Israel and Palestine, man, that's like the epicenter of some serious things that are constantly going on in the Middle East, right? But this is a chance for me because I'll tell you what, this is a chance for me to learn and explore and to gain better insight on something that I frankly don't really feel like I have a very good grasp on. And so if you can imagine like spending time eating in the homes of Palestinians and the next day sitting in homes and eating meals with Israelis, and you talk about tension and you talk about stories and man, all of a sudden things begin to look a bit different than sometimes what you hear, right? I mean, and you don't have to go to Palestine. You don't have to go to Israel, all right? There are so many great places to explore right here. I mean, there's great places in Aurora to experience. There's great places. I mean, you go into Chicago. I mean, have you been to Chinatown, huh? Have you been to places like go to Devon, like just great Indian restaurants? I don't know. No, go, just go, right? Go to Little Italy, right? And that's not, don't go to Olive Garden. Go to Little Italy once in a while, all right? For God's sake. It's not even authentic, you know? I know the commercials, you're like, oh, that's so authentic. Like, they're all, like, loud around the table and, you know, breadsticks. Like, no, they don't even eat breadsticks in Italy like that. God. So authentic. No, it's not. Go to the south side of Chicago, man. Have some chicken and waffles. You ever have those? Ooh, that sounds good right now. Ooh, now I'm about to preach. Anyway, no, listen, exploring will help grow your imagination, all right? All right, let's go on, okay? Here's two more real quick, and I know we've gone over. Don't worry, Chili's will still be open, okay? see, that's what I'm talking about, though, all right? Anyway, but their chips and salsa are so good, and their queso. Anyway, oh, man, I'm going to pick some up on the way home. All right, learning is another one. Learning, say it with me, ready? Learning. So learning will fuel your imagination. Now, for whatever reason, it seems like that for a lot of us, the longer we live, the less pliable our minds are to learning. You know what I think happens? This is the crap that happens in our minds. We somehow convince ourselves that what we already know is, like, the knowledge and information that we already know is enough to take us where we need to go in the future. Right? We think we've learned. We don't say that, right? Because that would be arrogant to say that. But we live like that. Listen, a person of faith, especially a person of faith, should never be afraid to learn new things, to explore, right? I mean, if there's anybody who ought to be asking a lot of questions and examining and exploring and learning, it ought to be people of faith. Because listen, one day when you stop breathing and you die, you're not going to be sitting up in heaven with a little gold harp singing Kumbaya, right? You understand that? Like, you're going to get there wherever there even is, and you're going to be like, wow. Like, God's not this big. Holy smokes. And then you're going to go, huh. And you're going to start, and you're going to have this whole new journey effect, so you might as well get used to exploring now and asking lots of questions now, because I think that's what you're going to be doing a lot of in eternity. It's one of the things I really respected about my dad. He was a great learner. He was always reading, always pouring, learning new information. And he died when he was 60. But man, had he lived on until he was 80 or 90, he would have continued. I mean, he had a lifetime. It was learning was one of his values. Right? Some of you need to start making yourself flexible again. You need to start making yourself pliable again. Because listen, if you stop learning, you're going to stop growing. And if you stop growing, you will never create a life beyond the life that you are living right now. That's one of the things I love about the story of Abraham. If you ever feel like you're too old to learn, just read in the Bible. Man, Abraham's like 75, and God's like, I'm going to do an entirely new thing in your life. I mean, see, it seems to me that the retirement in God's eyes, and maybe I'm wrong, but I mean, just read the Bible, right? So it just seems to me that retirement, like in terms of God's opinion or his way of looking at it, basically retirement happens, right about the time that you die. You die. Yeah. Look, I mean, there are a lot of people. Some of you are already retired, and you're not even actually retired. You just mentally retired, right? You retired. You've already kind of like living in this place, right? I know people like this. I see them all the time and talk to people all the time. It's like even though they have a long way to go before they retire and before it actually becomes official, they're already mentally, they're counting days, and they're young, right? And they're just kind of going, well, you know, that's all they have to dream about, like to make a living, and then by golly, one day I'm going to get my gold watch, or I'm going to get my little plaque for my wall, and I'm going to be done with it. Exciting. That's going to change the world. Listen, this thing called imagination, all right, is far more than something that's reserved for people in their 20s or 30s. All right, imagination is far greater than some sort of juvenile game that's designed for kids between the ages of 2 and 6. Imagination is a gift that has been given to us by God and to be embraced by us and to use it to our fullest extent until the moment you breathe your last breath on planet Earth. And to not use it, man, is not only a loss in your life, but man, you better start thinking about the impact it could have somewhere else, man. Potentially a detrimental loss to whoever and to whatever those canvases are in your life and that are dying for you to start dreaming and start imagining what could be. All right. Last one. It is hot in here. I don't care what you say. It's like tanning bed up here, for Pete's sake. I mean, look at this tanning I have. It's nice, isn't it? Anyway, imaginative people. You want to grow in your imagination? Get around imaginative people. This is a tough one. It doesn't sound tough yet, but don't worry, it will be in just a second. All right, got to go to the bathroom. This would be a good time to go. All right, imagine it. Listen, do you want to dream bigger dreams? All right, then get around people who are dreaming bigger dreams than you are. All right, listen. I can't say this enough. The people that you love and respect and admire the most have a tremendous impact on the boundaries that are established by your imagination. Huge impact. Some of you, that's why you're stuck. You need to get around new people, different people, right? You need some new friends. I mean, let me just ask you a question. I mean, because see, here's what happens. Your journey starts taking you a certain way in your life. Not better than someone else, not about that, but your journey, God's moving in you, your life, something's happening, you're going one direction, and someone else going another direction. Listen, it happens. Sometimes, I'll tell you, one of the hardest things for me to accept and to understand was that sometimes we outgrow friendships. We do. Sometimes we outgrow friendships, and that's hard, man. It is hard. You got to grieve that. You've got to handle it well. It can be difficult, but it's okay. It's okay. And not only is it okay, but if you're going to keep growing, there's going to be times that's going to be necessary. It just will be. I mean, what kind of people are you surrounded by in your life right now? Seriously, listen to me. What kind of people are you surrounded by in your life? Are you surrounded by imaginative thinkers and dreamers who have big dreams for their lives? Or are you surrounded by people who are stuck? Are you surrounded by people who are just living mediocre, average, mundane lives? Are you surrounded by people who've stopped dreaming and who've stopped learning and who've stopped growing? Who is around you in your life right now? I mean, we got to pay attention to that. And don't get all Christian on me right now, okay? Oh, well, you know, we just, I mean, look, sometimes we make such excuses. And well, you know, we got, you know, Jesus told us, you know, also we become theological experts, don't we? It's like, oh, you know, Jesus said that we should do something about, like, you know, not letting anyone go. Like, we got to care for everyone. No. If all everybody around you is a therapy case, like that's not a good thing, right? I mean, look, this is. How about this for some of you to help you hear it this way? It's about tweaking the ratio, right? Tweaking the ratio of the kind of people you're spending time around and who's surrounding your life. It's getting around the kind of people who will help you, who will awaken you. Right? Who will not just take from you all the time, but who will actually energize you and inspire you and mentor you and empower you and draw something great out of you. And do you have anybody like that in your life, or is everybody draining? They're just like, I call them releeching ships. Not relate, they're releech. They're leeches. That was pretty good. Just pulled that one out of somewhere. Anyway, I'll write that one down. Religion. That'll tweet. Okay, look. maybe some of you need a fresh vision. And you need some new voices in your life. You need people who will tell you who you really are. And who will draw out those gifts, those talents, those you know, that intelligence, the passions, the potential, that undiscovered greatness that is sitting there. Bless you. That was hearty. There must be a cat in here. Man, I was just getting ready to hit the home run right now, and that's all right though. It's all right. Must not have been God's will. But anyway, just forget it. No, so, but anyway, there's there's people stuff, you know, all that. But anyway, no. Listen, you need people. You should double tithe after that. There's. You need people who will draw out greatness out of your life, and there are people who'll do that. You just got to take steps. You got to ask. It's not saying like, hey, would you be my lifetime mentor? No one wants to do that and commit to that. I don't want to be your lifetime mentor. Are you kidding me? I've got children at home. Like, but you might find someone who say, you know what? I'll sit down and have a conversation with you. I'll hang out. We could talk. Now, don't all email me next week and ask me to do that. But anyway, but here's the thing. Regardless of all that, there is one voice. There's one voice that above all, that believes in you the most, and that sees the most in you. And of course, that's the voice of our Creator. What an empowering voice. So I want to close with this quick story. In the Old Testament, there's this prophet named Jeremiah. And Jeremiah is having a really, really tough time. He's God sort of has this conversation, and Jeremiah, he's in prison. But he's not in prison because he's done anything wrong. He's in prison because he obeyed God. Imagine that. And so anyway, as you can imagine, like here Jeremiah is not living the life of his dreams. I mean, it didn't include that. You know, that was not in the plans, right? And he's even a little ticked off at God. And so you know, here he is sitting in this prison cell and you know, he's like kind of hard to imagine the great life when you're sitting in prison. Some of you, that's where you are right now. You feel that way anyway. You feel stuck. You feel defeated, man. You feel tired and discouraged. You feel like you're just surviving, existing. And it's really hard for you to imagine that your life could look any different than it looks right now. It's hard. And I think this has to be the kind of place that Jeremiah was in, and what he was feeling as he's sitting there. And yet it's in that place. Listen, it's in that place that God shows up. And God speaks to Jeremiah, and he says something to Jeremiah that just resonates with me, and I think he would be saying the same thing to you and to me. And he says these words that are extremely hopeful and empowering to Jeremiah. It's this right here, Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3. God says, Jeremiah, listen. Call to me, and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. Listen, I love that. Because it feels like it's just in one sentence, God's just inviting us. He's inviting us and challenging us to connect with him on a really profound level, on a level that's far beyond the level that we often pray to God, you know, trying to get God to do something for us or trying to get our will to happen on earth as we wish it would or whatever, right? But in some ways, it's like God is saying, look, listen, the reason you need to be in conversation with me. Listen, the reason you need to be in conversation with me is because I created your imagination to be a playground where you and I can connect and come together and where I can do some great things in your life. And look, not just in your life, but on those canvases around your life, and to do things that will absolutely blow your mind. And if you'll ask me, and if you'll trust me, and then watch, because I'm going to stretch your dreams and your imaginations to places you would have never, ever thought possible. Listen, Orchard, I'll tell you, I've gone really long, and you're going to be late for your lunches or whatever you got to go to, but can you just imagine for a second what it would really, really look like for you to dream this way, for you to rip off the barriers and to just start imagining way bigger than you really feel like you ought to? I mean, what if it's just ridiculous how much you're imagining and dreaming? I mean, what if, like, if you published your dreams, like, people would think you're an absolute lunatic? So you dream this big, and maybe, like, that all that doesn't happen, but you know what? Like, what if this much does? See, the problem is we dream like this, and then like this much happens. So what if we dream this big? What might happen? I mean, what if we dream beyond our current realities? What if we dream beyond what it looks like right now in our families or in your bank account, huh? What if you were to actually dream beyond what it looks like in your organization or your business or in your art or in your creativity, whatever it is you do? Look, some of you, you're waiting for permission to just dream. Stop waiting and just start dreaming. Go for it. Because I think what God might be able to do with a whole group of people who are willing to do that would be pretty powerful. Some of you have small businesses you're trying to get going. There's a lot of people in our church who have small businesses. I mean, look. Imagine how this gift of imagination could help you to innovate and to have creative ideas that would help you to stand out from all the other people who are doing the exact same thing that you're doing. God will help you. You just got to ask him. Some of you in your workplace, it's like this. It's dead, man. There are no solutions happening. It's systems that are broken as heck, and people just hate their jobs, man. What if you were different? Like, what if like one day your boss comes to you and say, hey, we have this new award that we just made up because of you, and we're going to call you the Chief Imagination Officer of the Month. And you're like, what? And they're like, yeah, because like you just seem to be so creative and you have creative ideas and solutions that others can't seem to come up with. So congratulations. And here's a $10,000 bonus. Hey. So here's the thing. With Jeremiah, it began with a prayer. And so I think that could be a great place for us to end, but also to start. Would you bow your heads with me? Let's pray. Let's take God up on this offer to ask him, to call on him. Right now, would you pray with me? God, what I feel like you're just doing is you're daring us to just act crazy. You're daring us to dream in unreasonable ways. And God, you're calling out to us and you're saying, hey, call to me. I'll answer you. And I'll tell you great, I'll tell you unsearchable things that you don't know. God, would you do something really great in our lives? Would you do something great with the people in this room? Not just individually, but even collectively as we work together. Would you blow our minds? God, would you help us to become everything? Would you help us to become the people that you have created us to be? May we not be afraid. May we go forth with great courage. We pray that, and we ask that in the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Spirit. Everyone said,